And the common thread is that each one of these three verses has the same Greek word in it. And my guess is you'll be able to pick out what that word is just as I read it. And then we're going to connect that thought to that word. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, this time speaking of Epaphroditus. Since he was longing for you all, and he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Finally, speaking of the Apostle Paul again, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Each one of those three verses in Philippians has the Greek word for longed for. And it's an emphatic word. It's a strong, intensified word with a prefix at the beginning of it, which basically conveys the idea of yearning for someone, having a great desire to see someone, longing for someone. And Paul longed to see the church at Philippi. Epaphroditus longed to see the church at Philippi. And the interesting thing is that that's a Holy Spirit-produced thing, to really long to be with somebody and to see them again. That's something the Holy Spirit produces. We have a lot of that, and I thank God for that at the Canton Grace Church. But the interesting thing with Paul is he longed for them. The Holy Spirit placed that great desire in his heart, and yet he was under house arrest in Rome, and he could not see them. And so you had this confinement. He was confined in the house arrest in Rome, but he longed to see them at the same time. And I just couldn't help but think that is a parallel to our situation. We have a Holy Spirit longing and yearning to be together on the one hand, and yet we have restrictions that prohibit us from being together. And so what the Spirit of God is saying is, yes, this Holy Spirit-produced longing is a wonderful thing, but the timing isn't right. Just not right now. And that's exactly where we are at this point. We long to be together, but it's not safe to be together. And until it's safe, until it's the loving thing to do, until the government permits it, the right thing to do is to not be together, even though we long for it. And until then, what we need to do is not grow weary in doing what is right, and that is to only connect via social media. So thank you for being willing to do what is right, and I'm going to encourage each one of us this morning to not be weary in doing what is right, even though it's difficult. Well, let's pray, and then we will spend some time together in God's Word. Father, we thank you for the yearning that we have, the affection that we have, the longing that we have for one another. It's not natural. Natural, perhaps, for family, physical family to do that, but for people, Lord God, who are not related by blood, to greatly desire, to yearn to be together. That's something that you do, Lord, and we praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, we ask that you would help us not to be weary in well-doing and doing what is right, and that is to not be physically together right now. Give us your grace. Help us by your Holy Spirit to wait upon you to be able to do that when the time is right. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us to this point. And we pray, Lord God, that we would not be tired of doing what is right. Grant us a great time in your word. May it go forth with energy, with power, and with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We ask all this to Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't know how often you've thought about things that cause us to be weary, things that cause us to be tired or worn out or even exhausted. I'd like to share with you. I just sat down and thought about it, and I thought of seven things at least that cause us to be weary. Number one, and most obviously, we are weary because there's physical strain placed upon us. We might be weary because it's an 85-degree sunny day and we're doing lots of yard work. Or we're playing a full court basketball game for over an hour and we're physically tired. We're physically weary. Another cause of weariness is that we've been doing good. We've been doing what's right, and we don't see any results. It wears us down. In fact, so much so that Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Doing what's right over a period of time, not seeing any fruit, that can get us weary. Another way that we become weary is when we resist God. God wants us to do something, and we're resisting him. I remember being 26, 27 years old. I was fit. I was young. I was in excellent shape, and I would complain to Melinda that I had dead limbs. Dead limbs basically meant that my arms and my legs felt like lead. And the reason why they felt like lead is I was resisting God's call into ministry. And it was making me physically and mentally tired so that my arms and legs felt like they had lead in them. Resisting God is another way that we become weary. Having too much responsibility that we're carrying. We've been carrying the responsibility for long. We've been bearing up under the weight of it. We're feeling the stress. It causes us first to be weary mentally, and then oftentimes even to become weary physically. Too much responsibility. How about this one? We're just downright depressed. Something has caused us to be down. Some bad thing has happened in our life, or maybe something's not happening that we want it to happen. When a person is depressed, they find it difficult even to get out of bed. Another reason that we're weary, we're bored. Boredom causes us to be weary. God made us to have purpose and fulfillment in life, but things don't look like they're going to get any better, and we don't have purpose and fulfillment. We are bored. That causes us to be weary. And finally, worry. Worry is exhausting, both mentally and physically. These are some things that cause us to be weary. And it doesn't matter if we're weary or tired or worn down or exhausted. For any of those reasons, it's not fun. It's not enjoyable to be weary. And that raises the important question, what can we do when we are weary? What can we do when we're worn down so that we can experience rest from the hand of God? Well, in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28, we see some things that we can do when we are fighting weariness. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28. Right now in our topsy-turvy world, there's lots of reasons to be weary. And so I trust that this is going to be a blessing to you. The first thing that we can do and we must do, when we are fighting weariness, we must remember that God has infinite strength. Remember that God has infinite strength. Chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known? Have you not heard? And Isaiah is referring to the children of Israel. You have forgotten something, children of Israel. Don't you know? Have you not heard? Have you forgotten about the character of Almighty God? You're tired. you're weary, but you have forgotten that God never gets tired and that he never gets weary. That's something that you have forgotten. And you need to remember that his strength is infinite. You need to remember that his strength is infinite. And Isaiah talks about that in a couple of different ways. He says, the everlasting God, the Lord. He refers to him as the everlasting God. The God who always was, is, and evermore shall be. He is eternal. And by definition, an eternal God never gets tired. He never gets weary. He never fizzles out like we do. We fizzle out. God never does, because he is the everlasting God. In Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The everlasting God never has gotten tired, and he never will get tired, very much unlike us, because he is eternal. Isaiah continues and he says, the everlasting God, the Lord, he's the creator of the ends of the earth. He created the entire earth. And the creator of the earth, in fact, the creator of the universe, he's never going to get tired, especially when we consider the fact that he effortlessly created the ends of the earth. He created the whole universe. In Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. God effortlessly spoke the world and the universe into existence. As creator, he is all-powerful. There's no doubt that the creator of the universe will never grow weary. And when we're weary, we need to remember that there's no way God's ever going to get weary. But not only that, being the creator of the ends of the earth implies that he's not only all-powerful, but he's also all-wise. I mean, we live in a remarkable world, don't we? And Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. So to make this world as he made it shows that God is all-powerful, but he's also all-wise, because it is an amazingly complex and beautiful world that God has given us to live in. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. In his wrath, at his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Drop down to verse 12, if you would. He has made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom. He stretched out the heavens at his discretion. And it's just so easy to forget when we're tired, when we're weary, when we have fizzled out, for whatever reason, it's hard to remember that God has infinite strength, infinite power, and he never ever gets tired. He never gets weary, and he is all wise in how he imparts his strength to us. The first thing that we need to do, and we can be weary for whatever reason. It might be the weariness of boredom, but we need to remember that God has infinite strength. He'll never get tired. The second thing that we need to do, we need to remember that God has infinite strength, but we also need to remember that God is the source of my strength. God is the source of my strength. Verse 29 of Isaiah chapter 40. He is the one who gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. God is the one who gives power to us when we are weak. He's the one who gives strength to us when we have no might, when we are weary. And that's regardless of the reason of our weariness. Any one of the seven that I mentioned, or any other reason that I didn't mention, God has to be the source of our strength. But he'll only be the source of our strength if we admit that we need his strength and we don't need another alternative. In other words, I mean, sometimes we think what we need is a box of chocolate to consume. Or sometimes we think we need to go on a shopping binge when we're weary and tired. Or sometimes we need to spend 6 hours playing video games. And some of those things in and of themselves, those things aren't bad. But when we are consumed by them and we think we're going to get strength from them, we are deceiving ourselves. How about going to the everlasting God for our strength? How about going to the God who never gets weary? We need his strength, not another alternative. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, our Lord says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Our responsibility is to come to him when we're weary and heavy laden. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In the context there, he's talking about fighting spiritual battles against Satan and Satan's hosts. Satan has more strength than we do, but the Lord says, if you come to me and you get your strength from me, then you've got more strength than Satan. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, "Be thou therefore strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus." In other words, Timothy, if you're going to overcome your timidity, you're going to need to be strengthened by the grace of God. You need to go to the right place, Timothy. And although I know it's not on your outline, I was just thinking last night of Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 35. This is a beautiful verse. Psalm 68, verse 35. "O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God." Blessed be God. He is the one who gives strength and power to his people. But we need to come. We need to ask. We need to admit our need. We need to not run to an alternative source like a box of chocolates. Now, many of us during the coronavirus pandemic, we have some extra time. Some of you are spending more time because of your vocation, but I would say most of us have either a little extra time or a lot of extra time. And I'd like to encourage each one of us to spend part of, even a little bit of that extra time, connecting to the everlasting God, the one who's the source of our strength. Because if we don't, we won't be able to be recipients of that strength. And if you're looking at the outline, I thought of 6 ways to connect to God with the extra time we have. And each one of them only requires a little bit of extra time. But we really need to do that if we're going to experience his strength in the midst of our being worn down. Let me go through the 6 of them. First thing that we can do, of course, is just read God's word a little bit more than we normally do. If you generally read 1 chapter a day, let's say, make it 2 chapters a day. It's not that much extra time. It'll enable you to connect to God a little bit better. How about this one? Memorize a verse a week. You say, "Pastor Joe, I haven't memorized a verse in years." Pick a short verse and maybe do it over the course of 2 weeks. Of all the things to do with God's word, reading it, hearing it, studying it, memorizing it, I have grown more because of my time memorizing God's word than any other thing. Spend a little bit of time memorizing God's word. Another thing we can do, of course, is increase our prayer time. Let's say on average you spend about 10 minutes in prayer a day, let's just say, make it 20. You've got an extra 10 minutes per day at least. Spend a little extra time in prayer, connecting with the everlasting God who created the ends of the earth simply by speaking it into existence. Or another alternative, listen to an extra sermon or two a week. There's all kinds of good speakers out there. You can listen to their podcast. You can go on YouTube. Listen to an extra sermon or two from a good preacher each week. Another alternative, read a good Christian book. There are a ton of good books out there to read. That's what I'm trying to do. I've got a two-volume series that I bought in seminary, and I've never read it. It's about 1,100 pages in total, and I'm on page exactly 100. It's The Existence and Attributes of God by a Puritan named Stephen Charnock. That's what I'm choosing to do. If you don't, you're not a big reader, there's five other alternatives that you can do. And finally, memorize lyrics to a Christian song. If you're like me, there's a lot of songs that you know the chorus to, or maybe part of the chorus, and that's all you know. Memorize the lyrics to the song. How about The Everlasting God, for those of you who go to the second service? Memorize the lyrics to the song and then sing it through the course of the week. Spend some of your extra time connecting to the source of true strength in the midst of weariness, and that's God. Before we go to the third thing that we could and should do, I'd like to share this. I'm a little concerned that we're going to phase two in our battle against the coronavirus, the pandemic. I think it's great. I really respect our governor and his staff. Governor DeWine done a tremendous job, as well as his staff. And I realize they've got a number of dynamics, getting the economy going and keeping people safe and so forth and so on, keeping the hospitals from getting full. But I know the way people are. People are tired. They are weary with being bottled up. They're tired of not seeing loved ones and friends. They're tired of not being able to go to church. They're tired of not being able to go to work, to the office. They're tired of not being able to do whatever it is they want to do. And as soon as people feel that restrictions have been lessened, I'm afraid we're going to do too much too fast, because we're weary. And my encouragement to you is, don't be part of that if it does indeed happen, which I think it probably will to some extent. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, enabling you to persevere and do what is wise and prudent to do. Get your strength from the everlasting God. Remember that God has infinite strength. It's easy to forget when we're weary. God is the source of my strength. All the other alternatives, they're pseudo-strengths. Number three, remember that God freely gives his strength. He's not stingy. He's not a stingy God. Verse 30 of Isaiah 40. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Let's stop right there. Even young people, they get tired, they get weary. The need for God's strength is universal. If you remember the seven reasons why we might get weary that I mentioned in the introduction, six of those are not physical. Only the first one is physical. All the other ones start up here. They're mental. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you can get weary if mentally you're thinking things that'll get you weary. So this need to gain strength from God is universal. It has nothing to do with age whatsoever. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Their strength shall return to them. But we must wait upon the Lord, for the Lord to give us his strength. Now, waiting upon God, or waiting upon anybody, quite frankly, implies two things. First of all, it implies that we trust the person that we're waiting on. Let's suppose we're just waiting upon another person. When we wait upon them, if we do wait, we basically are saying, waiting on you is worth the wait. You're going to deliver on what you promised. Otherwise, we're not going to wait for the person. So waiting implicitly, it implies trust. And of course, it also implies patience. I'm gonna sit and I'm going to patiently wait because I believe that you're going to come through with whatever it is. In this case, we're going to wait upon the Lord to give us strength because we are convinced that he's going to come through, the everlasting God who never gets tired. In Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. In Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul, wait silently for God. That silently part can be a challenge, isn't it? I'm going to wait, and I'm going to be silent, and I'm not going to complain, and I'm going to implicitly trust. My soul waits silently for God, for my expectation is from him. He's the one who's going to give me my strength. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. He is the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. When we wait upon the Lord, we get stability, we get strength, we get protection or refuge. In Psalm 29, stay here in the book of Psalms. Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. God is looking forward to giving people his strength and his peace. He freely gives it. It's not something that we need to twist his arm to do. We just need to go to the right place and wait. In Isaiah chapter 30, I discovered this verse a couple of months ago, and it is a beautiful verse about waiting upon the Lord. Listen carefully. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Sometimes God has to wait for us to get in a position so that he can be gracious to us, so that he can bless us. We're running around like a chicken with our head cut off, and God's saying, hey, I need to wait so that I can be gracious to you. I need to get you to slow down so that I can pour out my grace upon you. The Lord will wait so that he may be gracious to you. And now he flips it. And therefore he will be exalted so that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. The Lord has to wait for us sometimes so that he can be gracious to us. And blessed are those who wait for him. Yeah, we as God's people, we need to get ourselves in a position that we can gain the strength that we need to persevere, to hang in there when we're weary. And then Isaiah concludes this magnificent chapter, which, by the way, Isaiah 40 is probably the highlight of the Old Testament when it comes to describing the character of God. Nothing describes God's character better than Isaiah 40. And he ends the chapter with one of the most famous verses in the Old Testament. But those who do wait on the Lord shall indeed renew their strength. God will come through. He'll give you the strength you need when you're exhausted, when you're tired of your situation. And then he gives an analogy. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles, they're majestic and they're powerful. When they fly, it looks like they're not even trying. They just fly because of their tremendous power and strength. Those that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They'll get strength from God anew. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. When we're in the valleys of our life and we're distressed and we're weary, God will give us the strength we need so that we will soar up high like an eagle, effortlessly. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We as God's people, when we're renewed because we've waited upon him, we will soar like an eagle, effortlessly, powerfully, despite the fact that previously we were tired and worn out. Well, I just sense that we're kind of reaching a point with the guidelines and so forth where it's kind of getting more difficult for us to do what we're supposed to do what the government wants us to do what's necessary to do to remain safe. May you gain your strength from the Lord. Remember, he has infinite strength. He is the source of your strength, true strength. And he freely gives grace and strength to those who will wait upon him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's precious. It's relevant. Even Isaiah, which was written 600 years before Christ, it's like he's walking the same steps that we're walking here today. Help us, Lord God, to use the little extra time that we might have, or maybe a lot of extra time. Help us to siphon some of that off so that we can connect with you, the everlasting God, the one who created the ends of the earth simply by speaking them into existence. You never get tired. You never fizzle out. Help us to abide in you and connect in you in one of the ways that we discuss, so that your strength can become our strength and that we can soar like an eagle and be obedient and live a joyful life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So may we experience your joy as we wait upon you and as we're connected upon you, with you. Thanks for each person here, Lord. Wrap your loving arms around them. Let them know, Father God, that the end is in sight. It will happen. And we would just like to cross the finish line victoriously with our arms raised, as opposed to just dragging ourselves across the finish line, weary and fainting. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.